Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we have battles going on all around us. It is in the spiritual realm, and it is in the physical realm. And we see what's going on around us in the world. Much is going on. There are things that we really didn't expect to see happening, but indeed, they are happening, and it is just kind of a wow. Look at it. Go on. Wow, I didn't expect that to happen. It's our world. It's the world that we live in today. And I know just to do the normal things can be a surprise, even to get food or get fuel for our cars. The things that we depend on each and every day, Lord, there are changes going on. Lord, there are battles that we are in, and we must learn to depend on you and not for the provisions of the world and the people in the world, like politicians, to help us. So, Lord, we ask for your help. We ask you to watch after us and protect us. We pray in Jesus' name and amen for your guidance and your protection, Lord. Amen. Yeah, we see things coming. We know that there are things going on with the systems, with the order of things, with the banking systems, the government. There are pressures everywhere that will bring us to a place where, well, maybe we don't want to be there. But we can tell that there are things going to happen. We live in a world where we see the changes happening right in front of us, things we didn't expect, and there they are. We're seeing our money inflated. The currency is under great inflationary pressures. And we know that there has been, if we've studied it, we know that there have been plans for 100 or two longer years to destroy our U.S. dollars. It's an attack. Yes, it's certainly it's physical, certainly it's spiritual, certainly it's economic. And we see things that have gone on for 100 years. What an experience we have seen. In our life, we have seen things happen right in front of us. And in our history books, same thing. We know things have gone on, and we know that there's a plan to, well, in effect, destroy humanity. And that includes the United States of America and the whole world. I mean, look at that is going on. It's a plan. It's a plan to destroy the economic and financial systems of the world. I mean, you can see it if you look. And if you're just going along casually, you might not see it. But if you look at what has happened to our national and our international banking systems, you know that there is currency that has been inflated. You know that in history, there has always been currency that has failed, especially when it is fiat currency. And fiat currency means that it is based on nothing of value. There is nothing backing it except the country that says our currency is worth whatever it's worth. And that's what the United States has done for decades, 100 years. Mostly anyway. Now there's talk about a new currency coming out with gold backing. That has been talked about by China, by Russia, by other countries. By Libya wanted to do that once, and there are some huge international issues with it, and we just don't know how that, let's call it a war on the economics around us, how it will actually end up. We don't know, except we do know that every country that has had what they call fiat currency has had their money fail. Now, this even happened in ancient Egypt. Genesis 27, there's two references to when money failed. So we know that it's a matter of history. We know that it happened in Rome when they started adding zinc and lead to their coins that used to be just plain silver. It was a known value. And then their treasury of Rome changed the metal content of their drachmas. And that was a part of why Rome failed and collapsed. So today, we have numerous reasons for a collapse to occur. When will it be is a big question. We just have really no idea. But the currency and the fiat currency has been something that has been known about for hundreds of years. It reminds me of that. There's been books written about the money failures and why they happened. France was a great big example of it. And there was this book called The Law by Frederick Bastiat. And it was popular in Europe and in America. The early Americans read this book and they were very aware of how inflation could happen and how money could be devalued, just as it happened in the 1700s in France. The book explains it very well. It's something that we can be very assured that the patterns repeat, and therefore they will repeat in these times too. At least we have to be prepared for them to repeat, for our money to become worth less and less and less to buy things. You know, in your life, what used to cost a dollar now costs $1.25. What used to cost $10 costs $20. I mean, everybody knows this is going on, and this inflation will destroy our money system. So our early American forefathers knew about this, and so they had a section in our United States Constitution, Section 1, Article 10, that said the United States money shall only be specie. Specie is the original word. There are later translations that say gold and silver, but that's what specie is. Specie means a natural, precious, or semi-precious metal. That's why our coins used to be gold or silver, and we had copper and nickel as well. So that's according to the Constitution, and that's why it's referred to as constitutional money, when it really contained mostly that precious or semi-precious metal. So what happens when we change the value of our money? Well, we can see it going on right now. Look at the inflation going on. Look at how our paper currency is losing value by itself. It's just what happens. I mean, what would you trade for a piece of binder paper, typing paper, even if it had a pretty picture on it? What would you trade for a piece of paper? It doesn't have a lot of value, does it? But if you have a silver dime or silver quarter, we know that it has a value. I don't know what it's trading at right now, but it's over $20 for an ounce of silver, and that would mean that every quarter would be worth about $5 if it was made out of silver. And every dime, therefore, would be 15 cents. But this is the thing that we have to examine. And, of course, silver dollars would be the whole value, roughly $25 for a silver dollar. And it's what happens when a currency collapses. The paper money has no value, or it just goes decreasing and decreasing and decreasing. And something that has its value by itself, like an ounce of copper, an ounce of silver, an ounce of even gold. Well, I mean, those are expensive. But the thing to remember is that everything has a value except paper money. Paper money is called fiat money because the only value it has is what the government tells you it's worth. That's fiat money. It's been a problem that has happened for hundreds of years and since Roman times as well. This was a middle-aged problem in England also, where money got printed way too much, and therefore what a pound would buy was decreasing greatly. The king came up with a plan to keep the value of the English pound stable, and that was with tally sticks. The king, because he was a king, could declare anything, and he said that all taxes had to be paid with tally sticks. And a tally stick could be bought, but there could never be more of them made and printed because they were issued by the king. So that's a form of limiting the currency of the nation to keep its value at a certain level. As I said, that is what the king did. Could we do it today? In a sense, we could, but what is our Treasury and our Federal Reserve doing? You know what they're doing. They're printing more and more currency, and that makes the currency have value that is assigned by the Federal Reserve or the American government in combination with the Department of Treasury. See, that's what is going on. Our money is failing before our eyes. It has happened to just about every paper currency in the world. It's no surprise. And that is basically why we are having inflation, because our money is having less and less value. It has less and less purchasing power every year. And in history, the bankers have always done this on purpose. The bankers have always caused inflation and used it as a tool to destroy a nation's economy. And at a certain point, because they're in charge of the money, they have plenty of it, and they buy the physical resources that they desire. And after the Depression or the collapse, the big bankers, well, some people call them international bankers, they own the things that retain value, like houses and real estate, and then they rent them to people for real money. But they keep the assets. That has been something that has gone on as long as there's been money and fiat currency. It's a known pattern. It's a plan. And that's what we are going through right now with our dollar losing value every month, every year. So what are we going to do about it? I think what we do is we get some things that are physical, tangible assets, whatever it is you want to call it, to overcome this inflation that has been going on in many countries for hundreds of years. You know, I'm not sure that there is a currency where you can take the bill from 100 years ago and take it to the bank and say, trade me some quarters for this. And if you bring in an old American dollar, the bankers will say, we don't know what this is. We can't accept your currency, even though it says United States of America on it. It might even say the Federal Reserve. But nobody recognizes the currency from 100 years ago. And that has gone on in just about every country. No, every country of the whole world. The currency loses its value. And somehow the people have to have something of value to buy what they need. What is it? It might be food. It might be a place to live. It might be transportation, boots to walk with. It's always different for every country and every person. What do you need? What would you trade for what you have? Well, this is what goes on with the economy when it is failing, and we are going through that right now with the high inflation in the United States of America. That's what's going on. We can predict it. It's something that has always been going on, but we have not been very aware of it. We need to be aware of it, because if we don't know what's going on, how do we expect to protect ourselves from the dangers that are actually occurring at this time? Well, historians know about this. Economic people know about this. We've seen this coming for a long time, an economic devaluation and collapse. It just happens all the time. Historians know that. The thing the historians don't know is when it will actually happen. Even now, we see the problems going on in the United States, but we don't know when something will actually happen. But we understand the pattern. We've seen it time after time in countries all over the world. And the rich people are trying to do something about it. They're trying to protect their assets. Just look at the billionaires. Remember, there's millionaires and there's billionaires. $1 billion is equivalent to 1,000 million dollar bills. It's astounding. And our national debt at $30 trillion is just astounding. I mean, it just is looking like a crash is coming. We just don't know the day, but we can sure look like it's going to happen. The very rich people, like billionaires, are predicting that there's going to be you could call it a crash, you could call it a depression, you could call it something worse than the 1930s depression in the United States. Plenty of people are saying that. I mean, look at Carl Icahn, the billionaire, predicted just about that. Ray Dalio, the billionaire, predicted something like that. Robert Kiyosaki has been predicting that for a while. And there are other people who also have been predicting these things. Oh, there's the politician Ron Paul, who has been in charge. No, he's been on the Senate Congressional Banking Committee, and he has seen these things coming. He's told whoever would listen to be aware of these problems and get prepared. That's what there's been plenty of people who see, and they are saying there is the death of money. And that's what we need to be aware of. What would we do if money all of a sudden had no value except to use to start a fire? I mean, that has been the history of paper currency. It eventually becomes worthless. So what does retain its value? Well, gold and silver do, but boy, gold is so expensive to buy. Silver has become popular, and so has other precious metals and things like food and soap and things that you use on a daily basis, even a soap scrubber, a pan scrubber, all these things that are just basic to life, a cooking pot. Those things have value. Good tools have a value. And people are buying all these things because they can see their currency is losing its buying power. And now, it doesn't mean you put all of your assets into whatever it is, paid for property, for instance. A paid for property is good, but you still need some money to pay for things like repairs and taxes. Everybody will need to pay their DMV expenses and a medical bill or something that you want and need from a store. Or how about the neighbors from down the block, and they're coming to your door and saying, will you buy this chocolate bar or these candy cookies so that you can support our local school or sports team or whatever it is? See, we will always have a need for some currency. It's just that we have to protect our assets however we can, with whatever way makes sense to us. Now, there's a lot of people that we can listen to tell us exactly how we ought to prepare. And they have good ideas, there's no doubt about it. But their ideas are not your ideas. And that's the problem with when we listen to people who talk about preparedness. They're not your ideas, and therefore you will not do very well at following them. But if you look into what it is that you expect to happen, how serious it can be, and what you and your family can do to protect yourself from what is coming, well, then what you do is you find ways to overcome the inflation and protect whatever it is you are doing. So that's what I really suggest everyone does as they look at what their needs are. Sure, from the very basics of, didn't I just say food and soap and things like that? Yes, just the very basics to the other things that are assets like precious metals and paid for property or whatever it is. There's always something someone can do to protect what they want to preserve. But you have to think about it. Your ideas will not be the same as mine or the experts that tell you what to do. And if you're going to do what you're told to do, good luck to you, because it just doesn't seem to work out so well. People like to do what they like to do. And if you would like to prepare for something, if you figure it out, that's what you will do, and you will follow your own thinking. So I urge everyone to give some thought to what they would do to overcome the inflation that's coming. How are you going to get through this? time of inflation. It could last for years. Don't be surprised if it doesn't, because that's how it typically happens. There are several years of high inflation that go on. How are we going to get through it? It's not just a month or a couple of months. It's probably a couple of years. That's typical. And people do whatever they can to hold on to their assets, whatever it is. I mean, it might be a car. It might be a property. It might be a couple of pieces of gold and silver. Everybody's different. But you have this plan, and then you figure out how to live, whether you're raising chickens and eating the eggs, or whether it is you're selling coffee to the people who have a job at noontime. You go there with some really good tasting coffee and you sell it for $1 a cup. If it's going for $3 a cup, you do it for $1 if you possibly can. And there will be people who will want that good coffee and they'll buy it. So somehow you figure out how you have what's called a side job, or they call it a side hustle. And that is what will keep a person or a family going. It might be selling your chicken eggs. I mean, do you remember when eggs were a few dollars a dozen and now the price has gone up so much? Yeah, it's partly because of what the government has done to say that there's bird flu among flocks, and so the laying hens have been destroyed by the millions. I think it's 1.5 million in the last couple of months. So, will the price of eggs go up? They sure could. Could go up a lot, just like with so many other items that get inflated. And sure, I don't know what to tell you is going to be inflated. Everything, gasoline, diesel fuel, if it's even available. We have a system going on that is working to take all of our assets so that, like the World Economic Forum says, you will own nothing and be happy. See, is that the plan? Yes, you know it's the plan. We all know it's the plan. That is what those people who want to control you want to do. Make you poor and tell you you're happy. So it'll take a little bit of planning to overcome that. You have to do something to get through the tough times that are coming. And if we are going to have another Great Depression, it's not going to be easy to get through. We will need to have a fellowship. We will need to have people who can help us and we can help them. And that's what happens when you have a common interest among people, whether you are a family or a recreation group, or somebody who has a common interest, whatever it is. You might be coin collectors. You might be CB operators. You might be emergency personnel. You get together with similar-minded people, and you support each other. That's what families are about. That's what churches are about. We help each other. That's a part of loving your neighbor. And that is what we do. We see a problem, we hear about a problem, and we do something to help somebody. That's what's called love. It's caring about the other person in a way that works the best for them. So that's a part of the responsibility of loving too. It's not just, they want something and you give it to them. No, you give them the things that are going to help them. And so you have to think and you have to plan what it would be. And then you have to do it in a way that is good for them, not in a way that will harm them. That is what you do. Lovingly, you do things that are good for the person or the people or the group. And you hope that they will do that for you also. That's a part of love. And that's what we do. We love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Pretty big thing in Matthew 22:37. Well, that's what we do. And we use our own minds to think about our own ideas about how to provide this to people and help them with their concerns. I mean, that's what we do. That's what it's about. And then you act it out in a godly and sensible way, using, I'll use the word prudence. You want to be prudent, which would be thoughtful and considerate to what is going on for that other person. Well, that's what we do. Wouldn't it be great if the whole world was like that? People concerned with people. In a way, that's what the Christian and the ministry of missionaries is about. You spread the good news of Jesus Christ as you think about their long-term best situation for them. And that's in heaven, isn't it? Yes, it is. So that's what a missionary does. They're concerned about the people's souls going to heaven in the next life. So that's what we do as we try and work out all the little things which are going on in the world, whatever they are, whether it's a food shortage or a crisis with money or even a conflict between nations, which can be war. So there's things that we do, and we have to just kind of figure out what is it going to be. It's going to be different for everybody. Yes, you know that's true, but that's what we have this brain for, to help us to figure out how we're going to show love to our neighbor. That's what we do. There are things going on that are making our economic, the whole world economic system questionable. And that, a part of that is how China and Russia are working together to form a new currency that is gold-backed. And so here with our fiat money, money that has no value except that it has a number on it, it's just a piece of paper, they are working on getting a gold-backed currency that they can trade with each other using it. And that any currency that has metal backing it, such as gold or something, has more stability to it. And our United States dollar is getting less and less stable every day. Now, there's another thing going on. Oh, you know that the United States dollar has been called the petrodollar. It's been called the world reserve dollar. And a part of why that has gotten to be that is because there was an agreement in the world with OPEC countries and Saudi Arabia especially, that they would only accept United States dollars to trade their oil in. So if you wanted to buy oil, you had to have United States dollars. That was the plan, and that's why the U.S. dollar was so secure. But that is changing right now. There is getting to be that new gold-backed currency that Russia and China is forming, but Saudi Arabia is agreeing to it. Other countries, India and Brazil, are also agreeing with it. And this could lead to the collapse of the petrodollar, which of course means United States currency. That is something that's possibly going on right now. Now, there are different estimates for how long it would take to come to be in effect as a trading vehicle, a trading for oil. Some sources say that it could happen very quickly in a matter of months. And other sources say that it could be 2 years or even 10 years off, but certainly 2 years. I mean to tell you, I don't know. I don't even have an idea on it, because I can see how either of those discussions or positions can be supported to be in months or years or even 10 years. There's just, I don't think there's a way to know the answer, but I question what it could be and what it could mean. So the thing I don't question is how there is movement that is going that way for it to happen. And I hope that everybody just considers what we would do if our United States dollar suddenly just bought a quarter of what it used to be able to buy. So if we were buying something for a dollar last year, it would next year cost $4. That's, of course, we can't know the exact future, but that is the way things are looking if you are considering the inflation and the destabilization that is going on. The real answer? No, nobody knows the real answer. But it is a consideration about what would happen if the dollar was not used to trade oil. So that's the thing that will happen. The other thing that would happen is that the central banks around the world, in order to trade the oil with dollars, have had to have stacks of dollars. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars to guarantee that the oil could be purchased with the money that they had in their bank vaults. So there have been countries and banks that have had even millions of dollars in their bank vaults to ensure that they could pay for the purchases of oil that they needed. Now, with this agreement being altered, where Saudi Arabia and other OPEC countries are allowing the purchase of oil to be done in something other than U.S. dollars. What it means is that the dollars that are held overseas would no longer be needed, and they would get shipped back to the United States by the truckload. And then we would have lots and lots of currency in our country. And you know what happens when you get lots and lots of anything? The more you have of something, the less is each one's value. That's just human nature. So if we get all those American dollars coming back, it will cause inflation in this country like we haven't seen before. And that's really what we have to know could happen. Could happen. Could it be? I just said I don't know the time frame. It could be quick, medium, or long. But there's something that you can do now to prepare for it, and that is get the assets, the things that are assets that are not dollars, get them into your economic plan. And of course, there's things you will always need, like food. You might need a water filter. You might need spare parts for your car or your equipment, or you have tools that you use to make money. You might need mechanic tools to work on your car. It just, there's no way what you will need. Will you need wheat and a wheat grinder? Do you have a wheat grinder? Oh, well, the hand ones, I think they cost $300. The electric ones, more like $1,000. But if you're going to make flour, you really do need a wheat grinder. You need to figure something out. And that's something which is part of the planning that you can do for the just in case. What if the dollar fails? What if the countries don't want our dollars anymore? I mean, this has been going on for a while, that the countries have been complaining that they have to do business in U.S. dollars. But it could get so much more intense that we would be forced to have our dollar fail and other currencies increase. I mean, that's the way that things have gone in history. We can see that there is a good reason for it to happen any time now. it's not the same as knowing it'll happen, but you think of it happening throughout history every single time. Every single paper currency has had this problem. The U.S. dollar is a paper currency. It's fiat money that has no value by itself, no intrinsic value. All it is a piece of paper with pictures on it. So, and that's what all the money from other countries is. It's not like there's one specific answer, but it's general answers, and you get to look at what you would do to fix the problem, because we all have a different approach to what the problem is, and we do what we can. In other countries, we've seen it happen. Oh, sure. Zimbabwe is the famous one. Germany in the 1920s is the famous one. In Austria, 1930s. South American countries with their currency becoming worth less and less and less. It's gone on all over the place. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, we look at the examples and we try to make sense of doing something. Always different, because we are human beings and we have our own thoughts and beliefs and priorities. And that's just the way it is. We try to figure out what could happen. And another part of being aware of what's going on is to look at what the big financial people are saying. They are like Carl Icahn, Ray Dalio. There's other people who are billionaires that are talking about how things are going to collapse. The United States dollar will become worth less and less and less, and we will have a depression unlike the world has ever seen. Those are the kind of things that are being said. So we can just examine that smart people are telling us this, and they're acting like it's going to happen. So we have to recognize this and do a little preparation that will help us in the long run. That's what I surely hope that every one of us is looking to do. And I think about earlier this year, there was an executive order passed saying or directing the United States Treasury and the Federal Reserve to create a central bank digital currency. That's abbreviated CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. And if that were to happen, then we would no longer be in charge of our money, in a sense, because the values would be regulated by those regulating agencies, from Treasury to the Federal Reserve. And everything would be known, because the electronic transfers or purchases are kept track of. So everybody knows what would be spent. Everybody would know how you would spend your money. The people who are in charge would be able to say, you bought enough of whatever it is this month. You have to pay your rent. You have to pay for whatever it is, your taxes maybe. And we are only going to release money for the things that we want you to buy. And that has already happened in China, where they do have digital currency, and their central bank and central communist committee control how people spend their money. Oh, a couple of years ago, they were trying to get people used to the idea of digital money. So what they did was they gave out these credits for digital currency and said they're only going to be good for 2 months. You have to spend this money in 2 months for these kind of items, or the money will disappear out of your account. You won't have it anymore. So that's one way that a digital currency could work. That's what China did, and so it could happen again. We just don't exactly know, but we know there are changes coming, certainly with digital money, and certainly with the inflation that is all set to happen. All these things are going to happen. And how are we going to deal with that, huh? You know, there's people who say, oh, I would never agree to be a part of that system. Oh, that sounds like a beast system. And they would say, I'm not going to be a part of that beast system. So I have to ask you, what would you do to get out of that beast system if the government says you have to do it? How are you going to pay for what you need to buy? How? What if they say you need this or need that just to keep your job? How are you going to live independently without being a part of that beast system? No, there's no really good answers. But somehow, the day is coming when there will be a big digital system. You could call it the beast system because that's what the Bible calls it. And what it means, it's not exactly known, but we kind of presume that we won't have a phone or a TV or internet service because the system will want to include everybody. And they will say, you cannot have these privileges if you're not a part of the system. So how are we Christians going to maintain fellowship and not be a part of the beast system? It's a pretty big question. And I think whatever we do, we have to remember that Matthew 22:37, which is to love God and love your neighbor. And that means we would have to have fellowship with other Christians that are going through the difficult times. And you know that's just what would happen. Fellowship would occur through hardship. That has been the way it has been for many, many decades and centuries. People who are persecuted stick together and help each other. When you don't have much, you know, even a piece of bread has value. A dollar bill might or might not have value, but bread and something to drink will always have value. It's something that we have to think about in advance so it doesn't just come up and hit us. We are, or at least we can expect, to have Christian persecution around us. The whole world has had it. We've been amazingly blessed to not suffer persecution. But that is what the Bible says will happen. And it is persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. Not just that they don't like, oh, the way we dress. But through this, we will have a testimony to give through the persecution. And when I think of the people who have been in countries where they have been persecuted for their Christian faith, the people who have been persecuted have said that they never felt so close to Jesus as when they were in the midst of persecution. And I've also heard the testimony of those people say that they would never trade the pain of persecution if they had to miss out on the fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's just the testimony of saints that have been persecuted. So we have to wonder about how we would do it. Of course we do. It's something which could be very real. How real is something we'll have to wait and see. But certainly to have a little bit of of a storehouse of food or whatever would probably be helpful, even though we don't quite know what to do or when to do it for. It's just a matter of being prepared for those kind of things that appear to be headed our way. We can't do it alone. We need the wisdom of God, and so prayer and fasting are going to be a good thing for us to get godly understanding and to get through the difficult times. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it has been. So we can expect that it just might happen to us. And we can say the trials that we have been through are actually blessings. Now, as I said, that's been Christian testimony before. Do I know what exactly will happen? No, I certainly don't. But I do know the examples of Christians around me. And one of those good books to read is Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you could see that these people went through pain and suffering and martyrdom. And from the looks of it, it seemed like every one of them were glad to be doing it for the sake of Jesus Christ. So that's something we can just be aware of and pray to God for his mercy to us. Okay, let's see. Again, I think I've got the broadcasts figured out so that they're not going to have that difficulty that I had some weeks back where the phone system just was not working good. Oh, but so I've gotten a new phone system. Oh, and if anybody wants to donate to my needs, certainly any donation would be appreciated because, it's just the costs add up. And it's a kind of a struggle for me, too. It's not easy. But if you do have anything to say that you'd like to say, you certainly can reach me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you might have a question. You might have a donation. You might have something that you'd like to be addressed on Christ Today. And so I invite you to write me with that. I'm still having some difficulty getting around, so I don't do it like I used to. And so I hope you will have a little bit of patience with me as my arm heals. And it does get better. Every week or two, there's something that's better. And so I just feel God's healing, and I thank you for your prayers very, very much. I feel like I would not have survived this whole situation if I did not have people who are praying for me. So I just am so thankful that I have people who care enough to pray to God for me. I'm just so thankful. There's so many good people in the world, so many people who care about other people. Some of them are Christians. A lot of them are. And some of the people are not Christians. They just have that philosophy that they want to live by. And they're good and decent people. They're not Christians. But they're still kind and compassionate people. I know in the Christian church, there are plenty of people who have that compassion. And I'm thankful for those people who both pray for me and are willing to do something for me. Oh, so if there is a donation, yes, certainly. I would not mind a little help with the phone expenses that I've had lately. When I think they're going to solve my problem with recording remotely. Anyway, that's the kind of things that I'm thinking of that are on my mind, and I certainly hope that you have a plan for the just in case so that you have some supplies for you and the people you love around you. I can't tell you exactly what to do because I think everybody does it differently. And to do it differently is good, because if we have 10 people doing everything the same, then you have the same things. But if you have 10 people doing something a little bit different, then you're going to have 10 different kinds of supplies, and you will be able to help one another with what you have available to show your kindness and love for other people. And we have things going on. We have things going on with shortages. Yeah, and I talked about the dollar collapsing, a society having problems or failures. I mean, it just, there's reason to see that all of it's coming. And you can have an impact on doing some things that will show your love and caring for other people, whether you're their family or church family or neighbors or your own family. I mean, there's always things we can do to show our compassion, and we want to use what we have wisely so that the resources that we have, given by God, are not used up or used wrongly. So I want to encourage everyone to pray and to seek what it is that God would have them to do. That's what the whole thing really is about, being faithful to God so that you are going to do what God is calling you to do. And you might have to pray to find that out. You might have to fast to find that out. You might have to talk to people to get some ideas and then see what really feels put upon you by God. I mean, there's the different ways to do things, and I hope that you search this out. Sometime you need to pray and fast, and that is something that ought to not be overlooked. It's really a good thing to do. So, pray to God. Speak to your neighbors. Show love for God and love for people. And I'm so thankful that you're listening today. Any past broadcast can be heard again by going to www.christtoday.org. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. And remember to pray. There's so many people who need prayer. And I hope that you just pray a lot. I have certainly felt the benefit of prayer, and I'm so thankful for the people that have prayed for me. I pray for them. I pray for you. I've learned to pray so much more than I ever used to. It's a blessing. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening. That pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, shine your light.